everyone.
Good morning.
That's nice. Good morning to those of you who are here, and good morning to those of you who are watching from home. It's really good to see you. My name's Claire, and I'll be leading the service this morning. You'll have seen the notices go round, there are a number of things that are coming up, so do watch out for those. One or two extra bits and pieces. If you're on the mailing, you'll get a copy of the video of the conversation that Terry English had in the prayer meeting yesterday, where he talks about how we can help them support refugees coming out of the Ukraine. So let's pray for Terry. And watch out for that video, and there will be a message coming out very soon about how we can give to Terry and his church so that we can do some really practical stuff in getting the money to the right place and the right people. This week, I think Dave said, is the last week to apply to enrol on the church electoral roll, which means that we can vote at the annual church meeting. So if that's for you, there are forms at the back, and please do look out for them and get that signed up. And there's an event on the 27th of April where we can bring our friends to see a professional magician talking about how he escaped from a world of addiction and prison and found Jesus. So if you've got somebody to bring, do pick up one of the leaflets or talk to Chris.
Yeah, I've got loads.
And that's free, and everyone's welcome if you bring a friend. So, as we begin, let's just read the banns of marriage. And I publish the banns of marriage between Owen Rees Christopher Screen and Georgina Florence Knott, both of St. Mary's Pickersley. This is for the second time of asking. If anyone knows any reason why they may not be married, you are to declare it. So let's pray for Owen and Georgina. Lord of love, we pray for Owen and Georgina. Be with them in all their preparations and on their wedding day. Give them love, your love in their hearts throughout their married life together, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So as we gather to worship, I just want to read a bit of Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So as we stand with our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, and we glory in the Lord and ask for the afflicted to hear and rejoice, let's stand and sing our first song.
So we're going to sing a song about how great our Lord is. He brings us life. He brings us love. He brings us hope. He brings all those whose hearts are broken his love. And we think especially of our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. So many broken hearts. And we just pray for the Lord to bring his love to all of those people.
Every heart that is broken.
thank you that you are closer to us than absolutely anything. You are the breath in our lungs. We worship and adore you this morning, Father. We thank you for the life that you give us. In Jesus' name.
I need you to tell me who is this and who's the dad. Who's this? Ron Weasley. And who's the dad? Arthur Weasley. We have a fan there. Thank you very much. So, who's this? George Pig. And who's the dad? Daddy Pig. I'm depending on my technical board of advisors yesterday that I've got this right. Who's that? Charlie Bucket. And who's the dad? It isn't Grandpa Judge, but it is Mr. Bucket. You know the film, don't you? Fantastic. Do you like the film? Brilliant. So, who's this? Who's this? Who's that? The Gruffalo's child. And who's the dad? The Gruffalo. Some people are going, who is that? But well done. The Gruffalo's child's dad is the Gruffalo. Who's that? Shall we have the adults do this one? Who's this? William. And who's the dad? Charles. Who's that? Luke Skywalker. And who's the dad? Who's the dad? Darth Vader. Who's that? Yeah, that's Jesus. That's a painting of Jesus at the Transfiguration by an artist called Seega Coda. And the dad is Jesus. And at the Transfiguration, Jesus went up the mountain with his friends, and God said, "This is my son who I love. Listen to him." And he was talking to the disciples, and he was also talking to us. "This is my son who I love. Listen to him." So, children, you're going to go out now with Dave and some other people. And let's pray for you as you go. Lord, we pray for everyone in this building today that as we listen to your word and as we spend time together and with you, that you would speak to us, that you would let us know what it is to be loved by you and what you want us to hear and take away today. So, Lord, please bless the children as they go out with their leaders and bless us as we remain here. Amen. And as the children leave, I invite you just to look at that picture and to focus on what it might be saying to you in this moment. So let's stand and say the confession together. Will you stand with me? I'll say the yellow bits and I invite you to say the white bits. God our Father, today we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. for behaving just as we wish without thinking of you. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For failing you by what we do and think and say, Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us, Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son, Father, forgive us, save us and help us. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
So we're going to carry on with a time of worship. And as we just hold that confession in our hearts, let's think of what's going to happen later in the service as we come up to share communion. And just sing, getting our hearts right, really, before him as we sing about coming to the altar.
Blood of Jesus Christ.
cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found. Break our hearts with the things that break yours. Wake us up to see.
Lord, we pray that you would break our hearts with the things that break yours. And Lord, we thank you that you are God and that you are all-powerful, mighty God. And we praise you for that. Amen. Please sit down. Chris is going to come now and do our reading, and then Heather will be leading us in our prayers.
This morning's reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 14 to 32. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. This is the word of the Lord.
Loving Father, Lord of power and majesty, we come to you with that reminder of the crucial importance of prayer ringing in our ears. At this time of extreme spiritual as well as physical warfare, may your Holy Spirit guide us in our prayers. Lord, we cry out to you for those under bombardment in villages, towns, and cities in Ukraine. Be merciful, O Lord, and bring relief, a ceasefire, safe ways for humanitarian aid to come in, and for those fleeing the destruction to get out. And we pray for those waiting so apprehensively in Kyiv. Lord, will you ring the city about with your hosts of angels, cause confusion among the Russian forces, and bring deliverance. Spare the lives of the civilian volunteers who've taken up arms to defend their country. Comfort those who have been bereaved, and all the husbands and fathers who've had to stay behind while their wives and children have left to seek refuge. Protect community and government officials, and especially President Zelensky. May they look to you for strength and wisdom, and acknowledge that you are the source. May truth triumph over lies and misinformation in Russia. And will you change President Putin's heart? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you that the Ukrainian Bible Society is reaching out with God's word at this desperate time. Oleksandr Babichuk, who leads the team there, says people are pleading for the hope that God's word brings. In southern Ukraine, they've been delivering scriptures and humanitarian aid to people in shelters and hospitals. Churches which are providing food and clothes are always asking the team for more Bibles. Supplies are running low, and Oleksandr is appealing for donations so that he can distribute thousands more Bibles in Ukraine right now. Anatoly, one of the team in Kyiv, says, "We are sharing both physical and spiritual bread. Lord, we thank you for the power, relevance, and consolation of your word, and pray that many will receive it and turn to you in these dark days. Your word brings light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer." Yesterday, Terry and Hanka English, our mission partners in Ostrava in the Czech Republic, joined our Zoom prayer vigil and told us about the amazing contribution that churches are making in Ukraine and in the surrounding countries to provide shelter and help for the millions of refugees. He says Christians are in the forefront, going to places where others daren't go to help people escape, and almost every church building has been turned into a refugee centre. His mission, Josiah Ventures, is shipping in supplies and bringing refugees to the West. Father, we thank you for the way your people are ministering your love. Terry knows it's a spiritual battle they're in, so Lord, please protect them from harm and danger. We affirm with him that you have the victory, and we pray that many will come to faith in you at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the many, many families, including Terry's own, who have taken in refugees. We pray for the provision of apartments in Ostrava and for the plans to set up schools for the Ukrainian children. Lord, may we open our hearts and wallets to help provide the £40,000 they will need in the next 3 months. May we share in the joy they are experiencing as they act as your hands and feet and share your heart of love. And Lord, please melt the hearts of our government ministers to make it possible for us in this country to be equally welcoming and generous. The churches over there say they are now becoming the churches they wanted to be. Lord, may we too partner with you for the blessing of our communities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Now let's spend a few moments in silence, bringing ourselves and those on our hearts to the Lord, praying for those we know who need healing in body, mind, and spirit, those who have difficult situations to face, and those who are struggling with doubt or temptation. We ask that we may all draw nearer to you, Lord, take up our cross, and become more like you as we walk with you day by day this Lent. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hello, everybody. I'm sorry I'm not with you in person. I tell you, it's really strange dusting off the recording skills and equipment. But there we go. That's where we are. So let me pray as we begin. Lord, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart glorify you, bring life and hope to us all, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, many will know I was in the Royal Navy, and I used to fly. And when I started my flying training, I was an observer. I wasn't a pilot, so I was the navigator, warfare officer of the aircraft. But I started my training on the Jetstream aircraft, a picture of which you may see. And when, and in fact, there I think also is the picture of me with some of my my course when I was training. Anyway, when we started training, what you do is you start doing basic air sorties to learn basic flying skills. And that might start with visual navigation, then radar navigation. You might do some basic area search techniques, and you just build up all these different techniques and you go through a series of modules. And then there's a point at which you start what's called the tactical navigation sorties. And that's the moment where you bring all these different skills, where you've been flying, doing one-dimensional training, you bring all these different skills and it becomes a multi-dimensional sortie, bringing all these different skills in at different times throughout the sortie. And this is the point where it gets really hard, and it's a point at which lots of people then drop out. And I was amazed to have got through this stage. My first three or four sorties were a complete disaster. I don't know how I got through them, but I did, and then it eventually clicked and it all came together. But it was at this point where things became really, really difficult. And it was either I needed to pull it all together and make it happen, or it was going to fall apart and I was going to need to fail flying training. Today's reading is a little bit like that moment where you start moving into the tactical navigation sorties. It was like that for the disciples and for Jesus. There is a step change in Mark's narrative of how he presents the gospel at this point. Things become really difficult. And we see that with Jesus, who arrives to find the disciples and the crowds arguing. He discovers that the boy can't be healed, that the disciples are confused because they haven't been able to heal, and yet they've just recently returned from a mission where they've been healing the sick and proclaiming the good news, but they haven't been able to do it here. And you also have a father who's disappointed and discouraged because his son can't be healed. And Jesus, in the same way, arrives despairing. He says, "Oh, you unbelieving generation, how long am I got to put up with you?" It suddenly got very difficult. Faith has got difficult, just like it did at that moment in flying training at tactical navigation. And I want to suggest today that when things get difficult in our faith, that's the point where the level of our intimacy with God kicks in. And it is only with a deep intimacy with God that we can journey on and face those difficult times in our faith. And I think we see that in this passage for Jesus, for the Father, and for the disciples in this passage. So let's look at each of those for a moment in itself. So what is it in Mark's gospel at this moment that sees that step change, just as I've made that comment about those tactical navigation sorties? Well, up until now, as you'll see from the map that's up, that Jesus has concentrated his ministry up round the Sea of Galilee. And that's where he's been teaching about the coming kingdom of God. And then in chapter 8 last week, we heard that Jesus said, "Who do people say I am?" And Peter responds, "You are the Christ." And this is the first time that Jesus' true identity has been declared. And the point is that from now on, all roads lead to Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way. In the gospel of how Mark has written it, is that Jesus is en route to Jerusalem to confront the powers of the enemy, to be arrested, to be put on trial, to be tortured, and finally to be crucified. It's all coming up to this culmination. At the moment, everything now leads to Jerusalem. So the stakes have suddenly changed. His identity has been declared, and he's finally en route to the final destination of Jerusalem. So how does the intimacy here help Jesus as he despairingly looks at the generation, oh, unbelieving generation, and begins to face what he has to up ahead of him in Jerusalem? Well, what we haven't heard and what we didn't read this morning is the one section before this this section, and that is the transfiguration. That's the point at which Jesus took a number of his friends, he went up to the top of the mountain and had a deep, intimate moment with his heavenly Father, where once again his heavenly Father declares, "You are my Son, whom I love." Doesn't get more intimate than that. That Jesus's Father affirms his identity and affirms his love for him. And he does this prior to coming down the mountain and beginning that final difficult, challenging road to Jerusalem. It was a moment of deep intimacy and deep affirmation for Jesus. And so when Jesus comes down that mountain with his friends, finds this chaos, arguments and inability to heal the sick, he has that moment of almost despair. Oh my goodness, oh unbelieving generation, how long am I going to be with you? But he knows who he is. He's had that moment of intimacy. He's affirmed and assured. And what does he do? He just does the one thing that stands in front of him. He deals with the sick boy and heals him. And I think there's something that slightly aside for us here is that if we feel that we're tempted to become overwhelmed by situations, we look around the world and see the challenges that we face, whether it be climate change, whether it be obviously the thing that is staring us in the face with Ukraine and the war there, or any other thing that's going on in our lives, we needn't be overwhelmed. God is ultimately in charge. And just as Jesus knew God was in charge, he just dealt with the one thing that was in front of him. You or I can't solve the war in Ukraine. It's overwhelming. It's shocking. But what can we do? What's the one thing before us? Like Jesus healing that boy. Is it prayer for us? Is it making financial donations? Is it offering your home to a refugee? I don't know what it is, but don't be overwhelmed. But Jesus had had that moment of intimacy with his Father. He knew who he was. He knew he was loved. He was assured of his commission and mission. And he just did the next thing in front of him. But it came from a place of intimacy and love for the Father. So as faith gets difficult for the Father and the disciples, where was the call to intimacy for them in this story? Well, let's look at the Father first. The Father came searching for Jesus. We see that at the beginning of this passage. But he didn't find Jesus. He found the disciples. And the disciples could not heal his son. And so think of the discouragement, not only because he didn't find Jesus, but also his son isn't being healed. So disappointment, it's hard. What does he do? And then Jesus does arrive and they have this conversation. The Father says, if you can do anything, help us. Can you hear the unbelief, the uncertainty, the discouragement? He said, even you, Jesus, if you can do anything, can you help us? And Jesus' response, if I can, you know, in almost an incredulous question. And what does Jesus say to the Father? He says, all things are possible for those who believe. All things are possible for those who believe. Now, is that believe that things are possible? No, I don't think it is. I think what he's saying, Jesus is saying, is believe in who I am. Believe that I am the Christ. It's a belief in Jesus that the Father is being called to. And so here we have Jesus saying to the Father, look, believe. And then all things are possible. But that call to belief is a call into relationship. It's a call into intimacy. Now, it's easy to believe when things are difficult. It's easy to believe when things are going smoothly. But when faith becomes difficult, when we're not seeing breakthrough, when we're not seeing the things that we hope for, then faith becomes more difficult. And the call that Jesus puts out is believe. And that means a deepening in our relationship. It's about a deepening in our intimacy in our relationship with Jesus and our Heavenly Father. And so that's the call to the father with the sick son when things are getting difficult. So what about the disciples? Well, remember the disciples, they are just a few chapters in the narrative before had been excited. They'd been on mission. They'd gone out, declared the good news, healed the sick, cast out demons. So what was suddenly different? They were confused. They were baffled. What's going on? Hang on. We've just seen all these wonderful things. And yet now we can't heal this boy. And so they say, once they finally get Jesus on his own, why couldn't we heal this boy? And Jesus says to them, this kind can come out only by prayer. And some manuscripts talk about prayer and fasting. Now, there is something deeper in what Jesus is saying than really comes out in the text. And what I mean by that is that can't we already imagine that the disciples have been praying? They've been out healing the sick, casting out demons. They have been learning the gift of prayer. And yet here Jesus says only this comes out by prayer. And so there's something deeper anointing, deeper power that Jesus is alluding to, which isn't subsequently teased out within the script here. But the basic call that Jesus has to the disciples is to prayer. And what is prayer about? Prayer is about a relationship with our Heavenly Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. It's about intimacy and closeness and relationship. And Jesus is calling us to that place of prayer and dwelling. So in this passage today, I think we see our faith, or the faith of those involved, becoming more difficult to hold. We see this with Jesus, who has to come to terms finally with the road to Jerusalem and where that's leading. We see that with the father who is disappointed not seeing the son being healed. And we see that with the disciples who, having been able to heal, couldn't now heal. And in each of those situations, for each of those groups, Jesus, for the Father and for the disciples, it was the deeper level of intimacy with the Heavenly Father that was going to enable them to progress into their journey of faith. And just like I had to make that transition from one-dimensional flying sorties to a multi-dimensional flying sorties, if I was going to progress with my flying career, all of us are called into greater maturity in our faith. And we can only mature by facing the difficulties of life and in our faith. And I feel that, and I believe, and I've been really challenged over the last 2 weeks, in part because of some things I heard at the New Wine Harrogate Conference, but also just my general journey of faith recently, we will mature as we spend more time being intimate with the Lord. And what does that intimacy mean? It means dwelling in those private places in prayer, encountering, listening, praying, and being with God. I was struck by a quote by Leonard Ravenhill. Some of you may know him. He's new to me, but he was a writer and theologian through the sort of 70s time, I believe. But he said this: no man is greater than his prayer life. No pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. The pulpit can be a shop window to display one's talents. The prayer closet allows no showing off. So no man or woman is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. I find that deeply, deeply challenging. And one of the things I'm trying to do during this Lent time is take up a challenge to, as it were, double my time of prayer with the Lord. What does it mean for me to dwell with the Lord? Now, this isn't about doing. This isn't about activity. It's about relationship and spending time with the Lord, knowing that when I face difficulties, when I face challenges to my faith, I will have a deeper trust, a deeper knowledge of the goodness of God who will lead me through those difficult times. Just as Jesus needed to hear that affirmation on that Mount of Transfiguration, "You are my son, in whom I dearly love." When did you last sit and dwell in a time with the Lord and feel you heard the Lord say, "I love you"? What does it mean for that father if we're not seeing, if we're feeling discouraged, to sit and say, what does it mean to believe in Jesus, who Jesus was, to another level, to dwell and trust in him? And what does it mean when we're not seeing breakthrough, like those disciples, not seeing breakthrough? Why couldn't they heal that sick and yet respond to that call of Jesus that comes out through prayer and fasting? I'm also praying, fasting once a week during this Lent in a way that I've got lazy and not done in recent years. Greater intimacy with our Father will take us through those difficult times. May we not be people who are playing or straying, but let's be people who are praying. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, call us into new levels of intimacy with you. Help us to know that it's not about doing, but it's about being. Help us to embrace and enjoy, to wrestle and celebrate, to praise and worship in those private places behind the closed doors. Just as Jesus said to the disciples, go into the quiet places, close the door and pray. Help us afresh to discover new levels of intimacy with you in this season and this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's take some time now to dwell and to know that we're loved. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So wherever you are today, let's just dwell with God in a place where we are very loved. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
If the Lord has been speaking to you in this time of silence and you'd really love to receive some prayer today, then that opportunity will be available during the administration of communion. So if you'd like to have prayer, come and receive bread and wine and then be prayed for either side here at the front. Or if you just want to come and be prayed for, then that's fine. Please go and do that. But please don't leave here today. If you really feel that God has been writing something on your heart, that you'd just like to have it underlined in prayer, then let's do that together in this safe place this morning. Because the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you lived, shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave it to them. He gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. Just before we have our next prayer, just really had a sense during the receiving of communion that there is at least one person here, one person I felt really strongly would like a deeper relationship with God, wants to reach out to God, but doesn't know how to do that. Can I please encourage you to come to the front at the end of the service to be someone will pray for you for that intimacy that you seek, which you don't know how to reach out for yourself. Just like the man who said, I believe, help my unbelief. If that's you today, then can I encourage you to come out to the front after the service and allow someone else to pray for you because you don't have the words yourself. So now let us pray the prayer that will come up on the screen. Let's pray this together, shall we? Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life into your hands. Now we put our lives into yours. Take us, renew and remake us. What we have been is past. What we shall be through you still awaits us. Lead us on. Take us with you. Amen.
We are loved by God. If you need prayer, if you want prayer, please come to the front and someone will be here to pray with you. I think there's coffee.
No coffee.
There's no coffee. But take the opportunity to go outside and talk to others as you go on your way. So let's go in peace this week into our lives, into our communities, to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.
Time for us.